Recording in progress.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is our final class in the Sefer Tiferet Shlomo, Be'ez Hashem. Next time, we'll start with a new class. There's a lot of different suggestions, but the majority of those who put in their thoughts wanted to continue with a Hasidic Sefer, and specifically Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about it at the end of the class. But today we're going to learn. Today we're going to learn about the Yom Tov of Sukkos, from the perspective of the Tiferet Shlomo, and it's a very deep Torah. But as we've already seen, that the Yomim Tovim, these holy days, can have great spiritual elevation. And so we'd like to dig into and delve into the secrets of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So I want to start with today's learning should be a zechus for the neshama of Avram ben Shalom. The third yahrzeit is the first day of Sukkos. And we're going to start by learning about what's special about the first day of Sukkos. So here's how the Tiferet Shlomo teaches us about how to appreciate this great Yom Tov. He's gonna deal with a lot of Kabbalistic sources, and throughout these Torahs we'll see a number of Kabbalistic sources. And whatever you take, but the ideas behind it, that's what we really have to focus on. So he begins with the verse in Parshas Chayei Sarah, which says, "Va'Avraham Zaken Ba Bayamim," that Avraham Avinu, our forefather Avraham, became old. Ba bayamim, he was coming with days. What does that mean, ba bayamim, he was coming with his days? So, b'Zohar HaKadosh, so the Holy Zohar Pirush explains, b'yomin ilayin, that he was coming with the supernal days, b'yomin yedion, the days that are known, v'raza the mehemenusa, in the secret of faith. Obviously, this is a Zohar, so we can translate the words, but what does that mean? So Avram was coming with days. He was coming with the supernal days, with the days that are known in the secret of Amunah, in the secret of faith. Okay, what do those words mean? Anira l'ramiz b'zeh. So I want to suggest that this verse is teaching us al inya mitzvah sukkah, about the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay. How does the verse about Avram coming with days contain within it the secrets of the Yom Tov of Sukkos? Okay. Dehine, kvar amur b'Zohar HaKadosh. There's a famous teaching from the Zohar that based on the verse in Tehillim that says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom, that the kindness of Hashem, of Chesed Kel Kol Hayom, is all the day. Says the Zohar, what does that mean? That means chesed, the azil, and kulhu yomin, that kindness, the attribute of Hashem's kindness, goes with all days. Meaning that even though different days have different attributes, Sunday is more associated with kindness, while Monday may be more associated with judgment and severity, but you should know kindness runs through it all. Because kindness, as we'll see, the attribute of chesed, which is kindness, is the core of creation. So that even though there are different attributes that Hashem runs the world by, kindness goes along with them all. That's what the Zohar says. And that's what it means, chesed, the kindness of God, is all the day, means any day, the attribute by which Hashem runs the world is really kindness. And the explanation behind this is like this. Because as we know, Hashem created the world because he wants to do good unto his creations. The problem is that you can't, real good is earned good. And so Hashem wants us to earn that goodness. And so that's why we have difficulties in life. And that's why we have struggles in life. Because we have to have challenges in order to earn the great good. So therefore, even when things happen to us that are difficult, the core of it is kindness. And v'arem is b'zeh. So he wants to suggest, d'ne yom rishon shel Sukkos, we know that on Sukkos, we are visited by the seven shepherds, the seven Ushpizin, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, each day of Sukkot. On day one, Hu Bechinas Avraham, the first day of Sukkot, is the day of Avraham Avinu. Shehu Bechinas HaChesed, Avraham Avinu is the pillar of kindness. He was the person who not just did kindness, but became the source and the channel for kindness in the universe. And we know the verse tells us, Yomam Yitzave Hashem Chazda. That it should be Yom, is usually the word we have. Yom is day. Here it's Yomam. Yomam, Hashem will command his kindness, Yomam. And what is the definition of Yomam? He's going to translate Yomam as daily.
Every day.
Right. It says Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chazdo, daily Hashem commands his kindness. Ratzaloma Yomam Uader Shakasiv, as it says, Manan Hashem Alehem Yomam, the cloud of Hashem was upon them daily. Shumora al Kala Yamim Shal Sukkos, and this is suggesting that all the days of Sukkos, Shem Bechinas HaMakifim Mi'anane HaKavod, are the days. Why do we sit in the Sukkah? Because Hashem surrounded us with the clouds of glory. And what does it say about the clouds of glory? Vanan Hashem Alehem Yomam. So it uses the words Yomam, daily the Jewish people receive the clouds of glory to surround them. And the same word Yomam is written about Hashem's kindness. Shebichinas HaChasadim, that tells you that the clouds of glory are an aspect of Hashem's kindness if they have this same daily association as Hashem's kindness that He put into creation. So that's what this means. Yomam Yitzave Hashem Chazdo. Daily Hashem commands His kindness. Shebichinas HaChasadim Yitzave Hashem. Hashem will command the kindness in the world, that there should be more kindness. Nisnaig b'chal ayamim shal Sukkos, but especially during the 7 days of Sukkos, there's an exceptional level of chesed that's flowing down from heaven upon all of us, and we have to tap into that, but that comes from the clouds of glory, which is associated with this chesed of Avraham Avinu, and that's why Sukkos on day one, and we know that the first day of Sukkos, for example, the first night of Sukkos. So even though if it's raining, you don't have to sit in the sukkah, you can just stay inside, but the first night of Sukkos, very important, you have to, even if you just make kiddush and eat a kazayis. Why is the same thing with lulav? Lulav, the first day, is a greater level of obligation than all the other days. The answer is because the sukkahs is all about Hashem's chesed, and chesed comes from, it's all channeled through the first day of sukkahs, which is Avraham Avinu, and he, because he became the channel for kindness, and the whole world runs with this daily kindness, and that kindness is the clouds of glory that Hashem surrounding us, which we're emulating by making the sukkah, so we're actually making walls of kindness to surround us, and that's all channeled through Avraham Avinu. Yes?
The church interpretation here, an indication that he feels that the sukkah is modeled after the Anane HaKavod rather than after the booths that the people needed.
Right. Yes. Yes. He's definitely taking the Anane HaKavod approach. Yeah, because he's using the Yomam connection of the two places, right? So it's interesting that Shebechinas HaChesed HaRishon Shel Sukkos, who mispashit al kol shiva sayamim, because it's the aspect of kindness of the first day of Sukkos, which spreads through all 7 days, the hakaf al Yisrael, in the same way that Avraham Avinu generated the Jewish people, and the kindness that exists in every Jew, even Jews who are not necessarily so religiously observant, they're also kind and generous and giving. You just look at all the philanthropy that's happening throughout the world, and that comes from the fact that we are descendants of Avraham Avinu, and so throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, that stands out even more. It's very interesting that someone should have a yahrzeit, the name is Avraham on the first day of Sukkos. There's no coincidences in the world. And that's why it says, another verse, V'sukkah tia letzel, Yomam. That's what it says. The sukkah will be for a shade. Yomam, the same word, Yomam. Now, what's shade? We know that in the sukkah, in order for a sukkah to be kosher, you have to have more shade than sun. That's the measure, that's the minimum amount of schach that you need covering. The maximum amount, so actually we say, even though you're supposed to have it so you can see the stars, it's kosher, even if you've got a thick covering of schach, it's still kosher. And in fact, there's some communities that have to have thick, depending on the climates that they live in. But the minimum is that there should be more shade than sun produced by the schach. What's shade a metaphor for? Because we're sitting in the shade of the sukkah. So inin atzelu k'moshe kasev, it says in Shir HaShirim, in the Song of Songs, b'tzilo chimadati v'yashavti, ufir yo masak l'chiki. In his shade, I desired and I dwelled, and his fruits were sweet to my palate. Now, without going into the verses in Shir HaShirim and what that's referring to, but that's an allusion to us sitting in the shade of Hashem is when we sit in the sukkah. It's a metaphor for the protection and the cover that Hashem provides for each of us and for the Jewish people. And the fruits that we partake, in this case the shaking, a pre-eitz hadar shel esrog, and his fruits were sweet to my palate, refers to the fruits that we take to the esrog that we know the holy books write that the best place to shake the lulav and esrog is in the sukkah. And this is the reason, because you're sitting, you're fulfilling this verse in Shir HaShirim of basking in the shade of Hashem and partaking of his fruits. In Isaiah Pirish HaChesed, that's the kindness, the shadow, the shading, the protection. The Azlam Kulu Yom Shel Sukkos that goes along with all the days of Sukkos. V'zehu, and that's what the Pasuk means, V'Avraham Zakein Baba Yamim, that Avraham generates all these days, which in his lifetime, but for us, when can we tap into the greatness of Avraham and what he channels into this world? And the answer is on the first day of Sukkos. The Baba Yamim, the Al B'Yomin Ilan, he comes with these supernal days, B'Yomin Yadian, in the days that we know, B'Raza de Mehemenusa, which is the secret of the faith. Haremez Halispashtus Achasadim, what that means is that it alludes to the concept of all this kindness that expands in the world. V'Hashpayis HaKedushim Amidas Alyonas, and through that, that brings a holy influence of all of the divine attributes of Hashem. However, he's going to explain, how does that translate? What is the actual kindness that we receive on Sukkot? So here's a really interesting idea and something to think about. He talks about this a number of times. I only picked the one place because I want to cover other Torah that he says, and this is maybe the most compact place where he says this point. Let me say it outside and then we'll explain it. Specifically, the kindness of Sukkot comes from a post-Yom Kippur high that we are all on. And spiritually speaking, everyone gets a reset. Whatever sins are forgiven on Yom Kippur, we're all brought, every Jew is in a holy place after Yom Kippur, certainly in a holier place than we were before Yom Kippur. And we want to hold on to that. But what one of the things that Yom Kippur accomplishes is not just to have our sins forgiven, but also to elevate us so that we can retroactively say, if I would be given the opportunity to now to do all those mitzvahs that I did last year, I would do them on this higher level. So you actually, even the things that you've done, that you were missing from last year, those become elevated and those become mitzvahs. And what he's going to explain now is that after Yom Kippur, you've done teshuvah, and your teshuvah should turn your incorrect behaviors into mitzvahs. So that actually is going to happen on Sukkot. Amnam ikar inyan b'chinas ha-chasadim ha-makifim shel Sukkot. But you should know there's a specific power to all that surrounding light that happens on Sukkot. Surrounding light meaning there are some mitzvos that you hold on to. There's some mitzvos you speak. There's a few mitzvos that you go inside of. Specifically, examples would be living in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban, who holds that that's a mitzvah. The mikvah is a good example of something you go inside of. And sukkah is an example of a mitzvah that you go inside the mitzvah. And that creates a protection around you. Shasukati alachsam mizerem umimatar, and it's meant to protect you from harsh winds and from rain, but it's a metaphor. It's protecting you from all the prosecuting forces against you. And because on Yom Kippur you're so spiritually holied, you can now go into this divine protection. Ratzalomar, so here he says, Shekol b'chinas mitzvahs u'masim tovim shel Yisrael. On Sukkos, all the good deeds, all the mitzvahs, and all the good deeds that you did, shlo alu l'ratzon kol hashana, that were not necessarily so good all year, they weren't necessarily accepted. V'nishtefu b'zerem mayim kabirem, so they've been wind-driven and waterlogged. Hine ata b'sukkah, yichnesu kulam tachasila de mehemenusa, but on Sukkos, all of your mitzvahs from last year join you in the sukkah. Im Yisrael, v'ora sukkah takif aleim b'kedusha, and the light of the sukkah envelops them and elevates. Again, it's not. I'm speaking in very lofty terms, but you're elevated, and because you're elevated from Yom Kippur going into Sukkos, it means that I'm able to bring up with me all the things that if I were to do them now, I would do them better. And so the power of Sukkos is that when you come into the Sukkah, all your mitzvahs from last year come in with you, and they are spiritually elevated along with you. Asher l'Hashem la'alos l'ratzon tamid, so the holiness brings them up to Hashem. Uhu b'chinas Avraham. And that comes through Avraham Avinu. Baba Yamim, who comes with days. Shabbat Bechala Yamim Ufnei Hashem. Avraham Avinu, when it says Avraham Avinu was coming with days, what do you mean coming with days? That means that if we were to make a calculation of all the days of our lives, many of them we would find to be fruitful, and many of them we would find to be a little useless. But Avraham Avinu came with all of his days. So you can reclaim your days. You can reclaim your days because the power of Avraham Avinu on the first day of Sukkos is that he made every day count, and you can retroactively make every day of your life count. Specifically, he says of the whole year. So you can take the whole last year. Maybe he means your whole life too. Right? But lo nader echad, Avraham didn't lose a day. This was the kindness. The azlim kulu yomin that goes along with all days. Because that's the kindness of Sukkos. Is that because we are kinder, we're connected to Avraham Avinu, Hashem also shows us this kindness and elevates all of our mitzvahs. Lifnei Hashem l'ratzon k'mo shekasav, shifti b'beis Hashem kol yemei chaya, I want to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Why? Continues the verse, ki yitzpaneini b'sukkah, because he has hidden me in his sukkah. Ma shishavti b'beis Hashem im kol yemei chaya, the reason why I'm able to come to the house of Hashem and carry with me all the days of my life, Echad mihem lo neder, without missing one, who yitzpaneini b'sukkah kanal, is because we have the sukkah, and the sukkah is the place where we can gather and collect all the aspects of ourselves that need work, and we can use kindness to elevate ourselves, because that's what we need. We need, Hashem should give us this kindness of including the parts of us that haven't done such a great job, but also a part of that is our own kindness, where we recognize ourselves, we give ourselves the kindness of recognizing that we should all be elevated. So with this, he answers an interesting question. The Torah keeps referring to Sukkos as Chag Ha'asif, the Yom Tov of gathering, which if you look in the Mefarshim, you know, as to what that means, simply it's referring to the ingathering of the grain. And the question is, where do we celebrate this? Okay, we make a sukkah out of the stuff that's, but where are we celebrating this gathering? And also, why are we celebrating a harvest? You know, some people who don't understand Torah, when they read this, they think it's just a harvest festival. He says, the holiday of gathering is a metaphor. You're collecting all your grain, meaning all the mitzvahs that you planted. And this he writes elsewhere, that everything that grows from the ground is part of what we're supposed to use to make this world a better place. And so when things grow from the ground, that's opportunity to bring more fixing. And so when we harvest and we collect, it's a metaphor for all our good deeds that we're harvesting and collecting. And so it's Chag HaAsif, we're bringing it all into the sukkah, all of our mitzvahs that we harvested last year. Amazing perspective. Shema Asif Kal Amachnas, you're gathering the whole camp. Hamitzvahs u'maasim tovim, shelo alu l'Hashem, that have not yet made it up to Hashem. V'nisharu lebesof, and they remain at the end, they need some fixing. Hasukkah ma'asfam tachas hakedusha, the sukkah gathers them into the holiness. The sukkah is a place where when you sit in there, you experience the holiness that's within the sukkah that you're completely immersed in. It changes you, and it changes all your actions for the better. So he says it's not just the sukkah. V'achodesh hazeh, the whole month hu mesugal lekach. The whole month is able to do this. K'mo shemavur b'shofar, shehu ma'ala kol ha'mitzvah z'zikaron lefnei Hashem. Like we said about the shofar, he talked about that it can elevate all your mitzvahs before Hashem. K'mo sheramez b'mishnah, as the Mishnah tells us, kol ha'kolos k'sherim b'shofar, that any sound of a shofar is kosher. Matzalama kol ha'kolos shel Talmud Torah, tefillah, k'sherim, ve'olim, b'shofar. But what it really means is every word that you spoke, all your voice from the previous year, your Torah and your tefillah, maybe you daven sometimes, and sometimes when you daven, your mind goes elsewhere, and that davening, it needs fixing. So you can fix it by listening to the sound of the shofar, because the shofar carries up all the sounds. So he's just giving another example. And we know, v'chala chodesh nikra shofar, the whole month is connected to the shofar. K'mo shekasuv, as it says, tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow the shofar on the month, which we say means the first of the month. But the verse literally says b'chodesh, suggesting that this entire month is a month of shofar. We don't blow the shofar all month. Okay, we added the Yom Kippur, we got one more, but it's not all. The answer is, but the spirit of the shofar, which is the ability to elevate all of our prayers and all of our learning, shuam sakas adinim, which is the sweetening of the judgments, v'zehu, that's what it means, kashofar harem kolech, lift your voice like the shofar, sh'ayidei ha'shofar, through the shofar, yarem kolech, you lift up your voice, b'talmud Torah, tefillah, la'alos lefnei Hashem, tamid kanal, amen, to ascend before Hashem. Okay, so let me repeat this before we go on to the next thought. So what he's saying is that the first day of Sukkot is the day of Avraham Avinu. And it's the day when we can connect to Avraham Avinu more than any other day. And Avraham Avinu, he is the one who channeled kindness into this world. And kindness really runs through every day of creation. Every interaction that you have involves kindness. And that's Avraham Avinu's effect upon the world. And somehow on Sukkot, we are, especially the first day of Sukkot, we come into the shadow, into the shade of faith, which elevates everything that we've done in the past, and that comes through the power of Avraham Avinu, whose kindness runs through us, and that kindness allows that when we elevate ourselves, that we don't just bring ourselves, but we also bring our previous actions, and everything we've done becomes elevated with us, and that's the power of the Sukkah, and that's the concept of the Chag HaAsif, of this festival of gathering, where we're really picking up all the pieces of the things that we dropped last year. The power of the Sukkah is that it continues. And I want to use this point to emphasize that it is the approach of the Tzaddikim and the Chassidim they should not see the calendar as being Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as the high, and then we kind of slide down back into the year. But on the contrary, they feel that Sukkot is a continued elevation, so that after Sukkot, instead of going down, you're actually picking up higher than Yom Kippur. So as you can see, the process of Teshuvah and the process of the fixing of Teshuvah continues into the Sukkah, except it doesn't require that we cry and fast and all that, but rather it's through kindness, through sitting in the shadow of the shade of the Amunah, the metaphor of sitting in the kindness of Hashem, that elevates us and elevates the world. Yes?
Gathering is a word that you've often used in terms of the sparks that we're supposed to be gathering. And I'm wondering whether this, according to what he's saying, maybe he says it somewhere else, that by putting the schach on top of us, which is something we gather and put on top of us, that actually is a sort of a way of reminding us of this obligation.
Yeah, absolutely. He says that a little better than he says it here, that this specific point elsewhere. But yes, it's the gathering of the sparks that comes through our gathering of the yes.
Is that why you have to own your lulav and esrog on the first day?
So interesting. Yes, the we're actually gonna get to that soon. Okay. But yeah, that's mamish why the first day it says v'lakachtem lachem, that you have to own the lulav and esrog, has to be yours by yom harishon on the first day, and on the second day it can be borrowed, and but on the first day it has to belong to you. Part of that would be the owning of your own. Yes, absolutely. But we're gonna come back to that point soon. He's gonna talk about the first day of Sukkot again. Okay. Okay, next one. B'sukkah daf lamed aleph. This is a quote in the Gemara in Sukkah. And while you go into an esrog shop, your local esrog shop, and buy a beautiful esrog, that esrog shop runs, hopefully, according to the Shulchan Aruch. But if you look back in the Gemara, it's really not so simple exactly how the Dalad Minim should be set up. Right? So Besukah Daf Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yogdenu Milmala, that you have to tie the lulav at the top to make sure that the leaves don't come apart. And the Gemara explains, Savar Rabbi Yehuda lulav tarich eged, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the lulav must be tied. And we don't rule like Rabbi Yehuda that the lulav must be tied. We hold that the lulav, it's a mitzvah to tie it, which is a level lower than must be. And there's differences. You know, whether you're yotze the mitzvah and things like that. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that you must tie the lulav, and even though we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you must tie it, we also tie the lulav. Why are we tying the lulav? Hanir l'ramiz b'zeh, well, I want to give the illusion behind this. Yinikvar mavur b'mitzvahs dalad minim alalu. We've discussed regarding, it's well known, regarding the four minim, the lulav, the esrog, the adasim, and the aravos. Harom zim al v'chinas b'nei Yisrael, that they allude to the different Jewish people. Yesh yesh behem tam v'reach, v'yesh yesh behem tam v'lo reach. Let's go through them one by one. The esrog represents the tzaddik, where the esrog has both a good smell and a good taste. And so that's the tzaddik who has both the good smell of the many mitzvahs that he's done and the good flavor of the Torah that he studies. The lulav represents the person who's focused on his Torah study but doesn't necessarily go out and do mitzvahs. That's not his thing. So that has the good taste because the dates taste good, but you won't find a great smell in the palm tree, so because he's not necessarily doing good deeds. Then you've got the Jew who's focused on doing good deeds, but isn't necessarily studying a lot of Torah. So that's a Jew that has a good smell. That's the myrtle, the hadasim, but they don't have a good flavor. And then you have the Jews who are not yet studying much Torah and who aren't yet doing many good deeds. So they are lacking in both smell and in flavor, and it's nothing COVID related. And so that person is the arava, who is represented by the willow. So says Reb Yehuda, Ach tzarich le'agod osam, you have to bind them together on Sukkos. The he'asos aguda achas, to turn them into one bundle. L'chaber es kulam yachad, to connect them all together. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. His insistence that we must tie the lulav, meaning tie the adasim and the aravos together with the lulav, is because they must be tied together. And we know v'ein mema'atin b'yamtov, which is a different gemara, discussing the laws of the hadasim, that the halacha is that if there's too many berries, without getting into the, if too many berries have grown on the hadasim, it's not kosher, but you can't subtract the berries on Yom Tov. Ratzalomar, but the language of the Mishnah is ve'ein mema'atin b'Yom Tov. You can't diminish, you can't remove, you can't minimize on Yom Tov. Ratzalomar b'Yom Tova, on a good day, really on Sukkos, ein lehistakel al mi'at ma'aseh ha'adam, you're not supposed to be mema'at, means you're not supposed to diminish anything or anyone on Yom Tov. Rakalagad kulam yachad ema tzadikim. On Sukkos, you have to bind everything together with the tzadikim. Vizeshakasiv yagdanu malmalo, you have to tie it from above. Means almost like you're tying them together in Shemayim. So he says, why is Rabbi Yehuda more stringent than everyone else. We hold it's a mitzvah to bind them together. But Rabbi Yehuda holds you must tie them together, otherwise you have not fulfilled your obligation. The answer is, ki ken Rabbi Yehuda ha-yadorish smuchem, Rabbi Yehuda, throughout the Torah, he always expounds why things are close to each other. When two things are close, why is this next to this? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the Torah you're supposed to expound on why things are next to each other. So why is Rabbi Yehuda of that opinion? The answer is, Lismach ha-sa-osiyas ha-vayah she-b'shem Yehuda. Because in the name Yehuda is the name of Hashem, Yud and Ahe and Avav and Ahe, but there's a Dalet in there. And that Dalet separates between the Yud, Ahe, the Vav, and then there's a Dalet and the Ahe. So his job, by the nature of his name, is to reconnect the letters of Hashem's name through the Dalet. And what's a Dalet in translation? Dalet Lamed Tav is a Delos, which is a door. Doors, right? A door, the letter Dalet is a door. And that can be open or closed. So if the name Yehuda, if that door is open, then the letters of Hashem's name come together. But if that door is closed, then that separates between Hashem's name. So Rabbi Yehuda's nature is to expound on things in their proximity and to try to connect them to each other, because that means in his own name, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei comes together. And you should know, you could probably expound in every holy Jewish name like this, just giving one example, but you can find the nature of a person's sort of purpose within their name. So Ratzaloma Lismachas Osias Havaya Shibishem Yehuda, Lavalti Hadalit Mafsakis, the Dalit shouldn't separate. Kamoshikasov, as it says, Batem Hadvekim Bashem Elokechem, you're all clinging to Hashem, the Karev Echad Alechad, Vahulachadim Biyadi, they should become one. It says, Vatamod Miledes, when Tamar stopped giving birth, the term is Vatamod, she stopped Miledes, Mem Lamed Dalit Tav, but that's also the same letters as the word Mideles. I thought there was a cutoff of the door. Anyway, that's why, that's why when someone wants to stay a slave, we specifically drill their ears at the door, because they're closing that door and causing it to cause a separation. I don't want to go into that verse. Fortunate is the person who hears me to be at the doors, that's the making sure there's no separation. Anyway, back to our point. Yes?
So when he says to tie them at the top, you don't do that, right? Tying at the top. You tie them all at the bottom.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're still tying them, but we don't do it like Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay, and then the other thing is if he says it's so important to tie them all together, why don't we tie the
Esrog with them? Yeah, that's a wonderful point. Right, we don't tie the Esrog together, but you're not Yotzi until you bring the Esrog with the other minim. So those three are bound together because, as we'll see, those three are working to become like the Esrog. So what we do is we tie those three together, it should be strong, and then we bring the Esrog in and join them together, and only then can you make the bracha. But it is noteworthy that the Esrog doesn't get tied with the other three. Okay, but l'chein, and here is where he gets to the point. Tzarech lagod imo gam ha'aravo, tying with the lulav and the hadas, is the arava. Kishem arava, because why is it called an arava? This willow branch. Why is it called arava? Hu'inin arvus. The arava is arvus. Arev means a guarantor. Because kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, all the Jewish people are guarantors for each other. And so we name this branch arava, because you think that all those Jews out there are not your problem. Meaning, you think that all the Jews who have yet to learn about kindness and good deeds and Torah and mitzvahs, you think, well, what do they have to do with me? And the answer is, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, all the Jewish people are responsible for each other. V'gam ha'arava, so even the arava, she'em bo lotam v'lo reach, which doesn't have a taste or a smell, ta'agod gam hi im ha'lulav, it's got to be tied together with the lulav, ha'ramuz l'tzadik yisod olam, the lulav represents the concept of the tzadik, because the lulav, we'll talk about that soon, is on this high, reaches a very high place, We're going to save that. We'll talk about that soon. But that connects him to the tzaddik. Now, even though you'll say the asherik is the tzaddik, but it's the lulav that's really creating this channel of connection, which we'll see soon. And so the arava has to be tied together. Anyone who leaves this binding is separating themselves from life. But on Sukkot, with this spiritual high that we're on from Yom Kippur, we have to recognize that all, again, we use this round number, 15 million Yidden, they're all bound together and they're all in the Sukkah. Every one of them. Everyone. Even the person who you think has no tam velo reach, and maybe that's the vort here, is that different Jews have different opinions about who they would call the arava. But what we're saying here is there's only four yidden. There's the lulav, the esrog, hadassim, and aravas. And even if you think someone's an arava, you need to bind him together. I recently had a discussion. I was talked to a number of rabbanim about why can't we get a big stadium and bring into this stadium all Yidden, whatever, wherever you go, as long as your mother is Jewish or you went through a process to become Jewish. So let's bring everyone into one big stadium and let's do Shema Yisrael together. And all of the rabbanim I spoke to about this, they all said this should happen, but they don't know how. So I talked to these rabbanim, those are, they all said, yeah, this must be done. And it seems so simple and so basic, but, how to get it done, it seemed to puzzle everyone. But according to this, you can do it. Every one of us can do it. You can bind all 15 million Jews together in your lulav, your Hadassim and your Aravas, and then when you bring them together with the Esrog, you are doing mamish that all of Klal Yisrael in your hands. Kederach ze pirashnu amishle b'mesecht ezvachim perik tes hatzemer sheberashi achvasim. The halacha is that the wool which is in the heads of the sheep, va'atzamos, or the bones of the sheep, va'gidim, and the sinews, va'kanayim, the horns, va'tlafim, and the hooves. So bizman shehem mechubarim yalu, as long as they're still attached to the animal, they go up on the altar. But pirshu, once they separate themselves, once they come away, lo yalu, they don't go up on the altar. L'remez al anel, to teach you, afa p'chusei erech, even Jews who aren't holding there on these high levels, imei mechubarim letzadik olam, if you connect to a righteous Jew, if you have a source for your Torah learning, if you gam hem yalu imo, you're also included. Kamo ha'arava sha'ole malulav benanua imo yachad, and like the arava that gets included with the lulav when you shake it together. But pirshu lo yalu, he says, if you separate, I don't want to read the, we're going to leave the last part of this where he talks about the idea that at the end of Sukkot, unfortunately, some people don't remain connected, and that's why we have just this arava on the last day, and it gets beaten. But let's focus on the positive, and let's not go there. Throughout the days of Sukkot, you should know that when you are binding the lulav and the hadas and the arava, and you bring it together with the esrog, you should have in mind that you are joining all the Jewish people together. That is an amazing intention to have, and that includes even the people who some people would consider to be an arava, with no smell and no taste, even those you are forced to include them, because if you don't include them, your arba minim are not kosher. Because the Jewish people are only complete when we include everyone. And we started Yom Kippur with Anu Matirim Lehispalel Im HaAvaryanim, that we allow ourselves to daven even with the transgressors, which may mean even the excommunicated. Everyone's welcome on Yom Kippur. And then guess what? After Yom Kippur, they no longer are sinners. No one's a sinner after Yom Kippur. Every Jew is a tzaddik and every Jew is holy. But you're even a bigger tzaddik and even holier between the days of Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And then as we go into Sukkot, don't just shake the lulav yourself, but bring together all the Jewish people in that process. Yes.
Does that mean that, of course, we have the idea that we should invite a non-religious Jew to a sukkah because they don't have one, but when they come to your sukkah, you should ask them to shake the lulav?
Yeah, that would be good. The idea of, we know that in the minhag of the Chabad Hasidim is that they specifically go out to places and find people who need to shake lulav and esrog, and they shake it for them. And part of this is because the power of the lulav and esrog is to gather. It's the yantav of gathering, and you have the ability to bring people in on the yantav of sukkahs that would otherwise not be. And you see that the power of the sukkah itself to bring people into holiness is great. So absolutely, you should encourage those who join to shake the lulav and esrog. Okay. All right, one more Torah. But now we're going really deep.
Yes. Bob's question. Rabbi Yochanan from Chabad, he was going every year with the mobile sukkah to Tom College.
All right, that very good. The mobile sukkahs, yes.
Even Muslim one came.
That's
I know, but she say, I want to feel that.
I understand, but that's already a whole different subject.
No, but, you know, he's doing it for, was doing it for...
Yeah, but again, that's a different subject.
Okay.
V'lakachtem... I wasn't gonna actually learn this specific Tver Shlomo, but it's the one in front of the one I do want to learn, and now I want to teach it, so I'm gonna sneak it in. But Yisub Bnei Yisrael mi Ramses Sukkosa. The Jewish people were traveling from Ramses, and where did they go to? To Sukkos. Nearly I'm reading this quickly because this is not planned. Great question. Hashem promised to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, miyad, immediately. Halolonenskayim avtacha ahi, that promise was never kept. Meaning, every prophecy comes true in some ways. Hashem promised that the Jewish people were going to come to Eretz Yisrael right away. Gam derech shlosh yamim she'amru necha v'nizbecha. Also, the Jewish people said, we're going to go 3 days and we're going to bring offerings. Kashim od hechan haya, this never happened. Good question, right? Okay, so here's an answer. Achini Amru Chachameinu Zichron Levracha, our sages tell us, Ma Chag LaShem. Why does it say it's a Chag LaShem? Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Ala Chagiga, because just like when a korban, an offering, the name of Hashem falls upon it, meaning it belongs to Hashem. Kach Shem Shemayim, Kachal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah. The Sukkah also has the status of like a holiness, meaning that you can't misuse the Sukkah. You can't. It has kedusha. So therefore, but the Gemara specifically learns it from a korban, from an offering. So the sukkah has the holiness of a korban. And so the sukkah, when you're in the sukkah, you're inside Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because b'chal makom asher askir ashemi avo alecha uberachticha, because Eretz Yisrael is the place where the name of Hashem falls upon it. So he says when the Jewish people arrived in Sukkos, the place called Sukkos, so it's as if they were in Eretz Yisrael and as if they brought offerings. So that's what it means. 3 days we will travel and then we will go into Eretz Yisrael and we will bring offerings. Where did that happen? The answer is because they went to Sukkos. So wherever you are, I wasn't going to share this, but wherever you are, in your sukkah, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in a holy place, and you should remember that when you're in the sukkah, that you're in a holy place. Okay. But let's go to where, okay, v'lakachtem lachem, this is a very, very deep Torah. I'm going to say it a little faster than I should, but the key here is even if we don't get all the deeper teachings, but the meaning behind it is what's important. V'lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon pri etz hadar. Why does the Torah say, "V'lakachtem lachem"? You should take for yourself, "B'yom harishon" on the first day. Now you mentioned before that the first day there's a greater obligation of lulav, and that's because the Torah uses the word "B'yom harishon" on the first day. But why does the Torah say the first day? The first day of what? It doesn't say "B'yom harishon shel sukkos." It just says "V'lakachtem lachem." Take for yourselves on the first day. We say on Rosh Hashanah today is the beginning of your works. Zikaron liyom rishon. We call Rosh Hashanah yom rishon. Ki afal pi shebiyam chaf hei be'alol nivra ha'olam. But wait, Rosh Hashanah is not day one of creation. Rosh Hashanah was day six of creation. The world was created in the 25th of Elul. Omer b'Rosh Hashanah, but we still say on Rosh Hashanah, Zeh ha'yom t'chilas ma'asecha, this is the day of the beginning of your works. Ki ha'adam nivra b'Rosh Hashanah, because man was created on Rosh Hashanah. Ba'kol nivra avur ha'adam, and all of creation is about man. So even though there were days of creation beforehand, that's not really days of creation. Right, that's why some of the people who want to expound on the first days of creation, that maybe each of those days lasted longer. The famous book from Dr. Gerald Schroeder, Genesis and the Big Bang, who explains that 24 hours in the inside of creation, on the outside of creation, takes longer on the inside of creation. That's all that is before day six, which is day one. But day one, day six of creation, that's day one of this world, that's already the world that we're living in. Achini avicha arishon, but our ancient forefather, Adam arishon, chata, he messed things up on day one. Not day six, on day one, that's what we're saying. He messed things up on day one. V'lo nishlam az kavana sabriya shayse metchila alav, and therefore he ruined not just him, but all of creation. In a way, he caused blemish to fall into all 7 days of creation. Because during the process of creation itself, and what we call day one of creation, because it's the day man was created, he messed up. And so therefore, as a result, everything we do is to correct the sin of Adam and Chava. And as we know, everything corresponds with supernal realms, and so the supernal realms also take this form of Adam Kadmon, primordial man. We can't get into the Kabbalistic definitions of it, but we're fixing the universe. We're fixing all of the realms of creation. And the best way to fix the world is to take the lulav, the esrog, and adasim, and the aravos in your hand, and to shake them on sukkahs. Now, this works even if you don't know anything. Even if you just make the bracha and you do the mitzvah, because Hashem said that you should take you're going to bring fixing to the world. But he's going to tell us how it brings fixing to the world, which when you know how it works, that's the whole point of learning these deeper Torahs, that when you know how it works, it actually is even more effective. So the esrog, who command Amr. So first of all, you have to remember that there's different opinions as to what kind of tree Adam Arishan ate from. Everyone agrees it was not an apple tree. Right? However, not everyone agrees that it wasn't a tapuach. Let me explain. Right? So there's different opinions. One opinion says that it was a bread tree or chita, grain. At that point, bread grew from a tree, and that's what happened. Bread became downgraded to become come from the ground. Amotzi lechem min ha'aretz. That's one opinion. Another opinion that it was grapes or wine. That the yayin ha'meshumer ba'anavav, and the drunkenness is the concept of the sin that was brought about. We're not discussing all that. The other opinion is that it was a fig, and that's why they covered themselves in fig leaves. And the other opinion, the one that we're looking at, is that it was an esrog. And we consider all four to be true. How exactly that works is not our discussion for now, but there's an aspect of all four of these in the tree of the Eitz Hadas. So focusing on the opinion that tree was an esrog tree. In Shir HaShirim, where it says ketapuach ve'atzei hayar, like the apple tree amongst all the trees of the forest, the Targum translates the word tapuach as esroga. So it could be that the old word for tapuach was an esrog, and then later, when that word became to mean an apple, so that may be why some people made this confusing suggestion that it was an apple that Adam Arishan ate, and that's why it's named the Adam's apple. It'd be hard to call it Adam's citron, but the meaning the in the throat. It's called the Adam's apple, as if he ate, and that's why the apple also is the symbol with the bite out of it. So it'd be interesting if there was an esrog on every computer with a bite out of it. But the idea that's where the apple may have come from that change in translation. But it was an esrog. And so we're going to follow the opinion that the tree that Adam ate from was an Esrog, Adam and Chava. The Gemara has an interesting idea that Hifrish Zayin Esrogim L'Zayin Yamim. If you have seven Esrogim for all 7 days of Sukkot, Kal Echad Yotze Bava Ochel La'Alter, after you finish each one, each one's day, you can eat it the next day. Even though it says La'Alter, it means the next day. Right, that's why we can't eat the Esrog until after Yom Tov, because we only have one Esrog. So on the seventh day, it's prohibited until the eighth day, and the eighth day is Shmini Atzeres, and then Simchas Torah, and this year Shabbos. So you wouldn't be able to have it until after Yom Tov. But if you have different Esrogim for each of the days of Sukkot, and that's not a chumra anyone should undertake, and so the halacha is, the next day you can eat that Esrog. Why? Once you used it and you fulfilled the mitzvah, you've now fixed the tree. That's why you can eat it. In fact, you can even bring a fixing to the world by eating it this way. We know, and this to me is fascinating how he does this. All these minim, the lulav, the esrog, the adasim, and the aravos, Romzim and Mechavnin, Lemidas, Alyonas, they allude to all the divine attributes. Besodas, Gavoim, and Alami, Ma'od, Ma'od, the secrets of the Lulav and the Esrog. If you have ever watched any of the great Tzadikim, they can take an hour to shake the Lulav and Esrog. And they're having all these holy intentions. And I'll prove to you how holy the Lulav and the shaking of the Lulav is. I'll prove to you how holy. We have a rule that you've heard from me before, I'm sure, that if you want to know what's the most important part of davening, what's the most important part of davening to focus on, so go into any shul, and whatever you see, they run through the fastest, that's the most important part of davening. Generally speaking. Right? Shema, Shemona Esrei, Ana B'Koach, right? Take a look and you'll see that's generally the rule. Brich Shemei, thank you. Yeah, so anything which, blah, blah, that you should know that that's the holiest, mamish, the holiest of the holy. So it's true also of mitzvahs. And it's incredible that these tzaddikim take an hour to shake the lulav and esrog. And for everyone else, I find that it's difficult, it's mamish difficult for people to stop and shake the lulav properly, once out and once in, once out and once in, once out and once in all six directions. And even when you stop a person and you say, you know, in order for you to be Yotze, it has to be out and in. You can't just like shake about. The person goes, really? Okay. And then they go back into their routine. So difficult for people to stop and shake the lulav. And I can't understand it. It's fascinating to me how difficult it is, but that's the answer. It's because shaking the lulav and esrog is so powerful that the Yetzirah takes over and says, don't think, don't do it properly. You got to make it fit with the words and the song and just get it over with. It's amazing. And if you find that you're also challenged by that, so you should know that that teaches you how holy this mitzvah is. Yes.
Someone's following the cousin. The cousin is playing beat the clock.
Probably. Yeah, no, it's interesting to me that the chazan, it should be okay for a chazan to stop and say the word hodu while he shakes back and forth three times to his heart and all the way out and to his heart and all the way out three times, but he can't, and that's what I'm saying, he can't bring himself to do it, and as a result, the tzibur also does Hoyadu Hashem, they just go around, like, it's a big mitzvah, I don't know what else to do about it, okay. But he says, you should know it's holy, holy things. Ach b'chol zeh hakavana pshuta, I just want to give a simple meaning, tzarech la'adam l'chavein, that you should intend. Now, for him to say, listen, the lulav and the esrog are very, very high. They allude to a high spiritual things that's beyond our understanding. But let's just look at it from a simple thing, what we can understand. And then he's about to lay out to us the greatest secrets of the universe, which I'm wondering, what does he call secrets? Right? Okay, but here's what he says. B'masha omer shekidshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. Why do we say al netilas lulav? If there's four minim there, everyone's had this question. Why don't we say al netilas lulav esrog adasim aravos? The bracha only uses the word lulav. And the answer is, let me explain this outside, that the lulav is like the spine, the esrog is like the heart, The Hadassim are the eyes, the Aravos are the lips. And it's the same thing in their representation of the Jewish people. The spine goes from the lowest of places to the highest of places into the brainstem. And that's why the tip of the lulav is so sensitive, because that's the part that connects the spine to the brain, and even a little bit of medical knowledge tells you that that's a very sensitive area within the body, the place where the spine connects to the brain. That's the tip of the lulav. So the lulav runs through everything. And all the channels that you're channeling down, the lulav, again, goes from the most base of places, which is your spine, which goes to the most base elements of yourself. And it rises all the way into the highest places, because the mitzvah of lulav can reach the highest places in creation. And so that's why we make the bracha on the lulav, because that channel that the lulav creates brings with it all the other mitzvahs. Let's read it inside. Ki alulav hu agavoa b'mino, it's the highest. And if you look in halacha, it says we make the bracha on the lulav because it's the highest. What does that mean? Ki uram is l'yesod, because it alludes to the attribute of yesod, v'hu ola ad adas, which rises all the way up to das. But Omer Mashe Kedishanu b'mitzvosav etzivanu, you commanded us al netilas lulav, to take the lulav, means lias nimshach elav kedusha bebechinas hayisod mikan vahala. It means, and again, I'm not translating literally, but it means that the power of the lulav is to bring down whatever's in your brain through the spine, through the brainstem, through your attributes, through your behaviors, to more properly connect what you know with what you feel and what you do. So that's the power of the lulav. It's you're fixing this connection between your brain and your heart. To serve Hashem with full mind, and pure thoughts. To bring a correction to the honor and supernal man. Take for yourselves means fix yourself. No, like usfartem lachem by the spheres of Omer means count within yourselves. Lekachtem lachem, that word lachem means it belongs to you. Like we said, it has to belong to you. Why does it have to belong to you? Like you can, shofar doesn't have to belong to you. You can be yotze with a menorah that you borrowed, but the lulav has to belong to you. It's because you're fixing the inside of yourself when you take the lulav. So you can't fix yourself with someone else's lulav. So you're correcting the deep fragmentations and fractures that occurred from the sin of Adam Arishan, the parts that connect to you.
Rabbi,
yes, please.
Usually women don't have their own lulav. They usually borrow. So how does that...
Right. So that's an excellent point. On the first day... When a person should not borrow a lulav and asarig, they should take ownership, which is why it is quoted, cited in halacha, that a person should not give a minor their lulav on the first day, because minors, halachically, can acquire, but they can't bequeath. Maybe that's not the perfect word. But they can't give away ownership. So if you give it to a minor before you yourself are yotze, they can't give it back to you, and you won't fulfill your obligation. So you have to actually, you have to fulfill the obligation yourself, and then you give it to the minor. And even though you give your lulav to a minor, you won't own it on day two. You don't have to own it on day two. But a person who takes the lulav should take ownership. It should be given as a gift, and then they can fulfill their obligation. So excellent point. Thank you. Yes?
Can you have a partnership with someone and... You
can share ownership, but each one has to own it during their time that they're fulfilling their obligation. So I'll be yotze with it first, and then I'll give it to you, and you'll be yotze. That works.
But when you give it back,
you can still maintain the financial value split, but at the time that you own it, you should own it. Yeah. So he says, an amazing pshat. The reason why the first day of Sukkot is called Yom Rishon is because it's the first day of creation. Because it's a commemoration of Rosh Hashanah. Because you are all of Sukkot, and you're fixing the sin of Adam and Chava. So you go back to that first day of creation. So lekachtem lachem b'yom harishon, you should know on the first day of Sukkot, you are actually on the sixth day of creation, which is day one of creation. Tira b'mitzvos elu l'sakin yom rishon, meaning you're not necessarily on the first day, but you're back in that place because you can elevate the first day of creation by taking the four minim, shenifkam b'pri etz hadar, especially the esrog, which is the fruit of the tree of Adam Harishon. Again, these are incredible perspectives, you know, of these mitzvahs that we do. So, yes. Yeah, the reason why women are technically exempt from lulav, although they can fulfill the obligation, and there's different customs in different places. In some places, the women take on more of an obligation. In some places, they don't really. But the reason is because women are not connected necessarily to time-bound commandments, because whatever needs to be accomplished through the time-bound commandment, women are able to accomplish without that. So exactly why, specifically, mitzvahs that are connected to time, women are exempt from, but certainly they're able to fulfill it, but that obligation, they don't have the same lacking that requires those levels of fixing. Yes?
Can a woman transfer?
Women can own and bequeath. It's only a minor. Yeah, women have the same rights in Torah in terms of buying and selling as men. There's no difference. So yeah, you can give ownership back and forth. It's only minors or deaf mutes, etc. Yes.
But for this, if this is fixing that particular sin, women definitely had a role in that.
Yeah, you know, there's a custom amongst the Hasidim that there's a skula, if a woman is pregnant and she wants to have a boy, there's a question before, after, whatever. So after Sukkot, they bite off the pitim of the esrog. Okay? So there's incredible stories about this. Everyone can do their own research. But it's all connected to this idea. I actually saw Rabbi Raka has a whole kuntris just on this subject, on the concept of the esrog and the skula and the pitim. So, yeah, do your own research. But
is that why they make a jam from the etrog?
Yeah,
that is when you're supposed to have an easier life.
Yeah, the idea of making a jam out of the esrog would certainly connect to this, which is the idea that once you've got a mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah, especially if you use it to honor Shabbos. So then certainly that becomes a fixing of the Eitz Hadas, because Shabbos is connected. Anyway, I want to finish this. So let's do this quickly. So the ha'asrig sha'achal Adam Rishon. So the asrig is the actual fruit that Adam ate. The lulav tikkun hadas, you saw the lulav, you fix, you know, all yourself all the way through from your brainstem to your most base levels. And then the hadasim and the aravas represent the other divine attributes. You should rejoice before Hashem 7 days. Pirish means ki az b'shas abriya, the time of creation, anishlum u'shivas yemei abinya b'asimcha, the first 7 days of creation were messed up. Ki b'yom vav chata Adam Rishon, because on Friday Adam Rishon ate from the tree. Avo k'shetikin chet Adam Rishon az yigmur kol shivas yamim b'sukkah lifnei Hashem Yisbarach, says, I'm going to take this whole Torah, sum it up in one sentence, the 7 days of Sukkot are your opportunity to recreate the world in 7 days without the blemish of Adam Rishon. So in each of the days of Sukkot, and that's why the first day of Sukkot is so special, because it represents the first day of creation, the day of creation of light, when it was just kindness. And that's why it's the day of Avraham Avinu, as we started. So you should know, if we keep the 7 days of Sukkot with joy, we're actually reliving all 7 days of creation. That's why the Torah calls the first day of Sukkot Yom HaRishon, like Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaRishon, because we're actually fixing everything, and we're doing this all on this Yom Kippur elevated state. A fixing of all 7 days of creation. Again, let's repeat this. He's saying that the concept of Sukkot is that it's the connecting to the chesed, to the kindness of creation, which runs through all 7 days of Sukkot, and that becomes a way to elevate everything that we've done all of last year, and it's connecting to Avraham Avinu. And the second point was that the concept, again, that's the concept of the holiday of gathering, and then it's the holiday of uniting. It's the Yom Tov of uniting all the Yidden, including the Arava, because that's the fixing of all the Jewish people to create Smuchen, to bring the letters of Hashem's name together, which is the letters, the four minim of the lulav connected the four letters of Hashem's name, and actually in your Yehi Ratzon, before you shake the lulav, you say that. So if you don't include all the Yidden, if you don't include all 15 million Yidden within, into your Arba Minim are going to be missing something, and you have to. That's your Arvus. And then finally we learned, actually we inserted this little word that your sukkah is like you're in Eretz Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, but l'kachtem lachem b'yom harishon, we are fixing the 7 days of creation, we are fixing the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the Yom Tov of Sukkos, the joy of Sukkos is the joy of gathering of all the Jewish people, the fixing of all the incorrections that exist within the world, and if we do the sukkah properly, with the Arba Minim properly, we have an opportunity to bring everyone together, to create connections where there need to be connections, to bring a gathering to places where there needs to be a gathering, and a fixing where there needs to be a fixing, and an elevation where there needs to be an elevation. May all of us be zocha, that we should merit even a portion of this, everyone in their own way, to have a chag kosher, the sameach, with the Arba Minim, and with the sukkah, and with that we complete our learning of the Sefer Tiferet Shlomo. Be'ez Hashem, we will continue. Next time, we're going to start Parshas Bereishis with a new Sefer. We're going to learn the Sefer Zera Kodesh from Rabbi Naftali of Rabshitz, which is for me a very special opportunity because he was my mother's father's 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 mother's mother's father. So as a Rabshitz Einikel, it's a big zechus to learn the holy Sefer Zera Kodesh. Be'ez Hashem, we will continue that next time. Meanwhile, everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach and a great elevated gathering. Be'ez Hashem, we should all gather in the sukkos Oros Shalav Yasin b'mehir v'yamenu.
Recording stopped. Thank you, Rabbi. Beautiful.